Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to gather to worship you. There is something about that name, Jesus. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and died on the cross. It's the very reason that we gather to worship. Lord, we trust that we have honored your name, glorified your name. And as we turn to the word now, Lord, that you would teach us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would work in our hearts. I pray that you would work in our midst. I pray that you would encourage us. Give us hope. Give us purpose. And Father, as we turn our attention to you, that you would guide us and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. Some of you have missed a lot of church lately. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 10 is where we're going to be. Genesis 3, 1 through 10. And I say good morning to you guys, but I also say good morning to those who are joining us in the FLC. We're live streaming in there. Those who are at home and those who are in a parking lot listening through an FM transmitter. We're all over the place, but we're one church worshiping together through the Spirit. We are in a series called Imitate. And it's based on Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, which says this: follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So we're in this series, Imitate, and it's all about following God's example, the example that he set before us in Scripture. And today, as we strive to imitate and follow God's example, I want to talk to you about what it means to be free. Just saying that, free, it sounds amazing to me. Living free. There was a TV show on a while back called Strange Addictions. I don't know if it's still on or not, but there'd be several different kinds of people on there that had these weird addictions. And I remember one where this gal would take couch cushions and she would dig the foam out and eat the foam out of couch cushions. That's a strange addiction. Or there's this other guy who would roll up toilet paper and eat the toilet paper. Not a good thing right now where we're at, kind of that shortage of toilet paper. But there was one particular episode that really caught my attention. It was about a person who insisted on wearing this huge homemade bunny mask and suit. And they wore it in public. They wore it out when they're on a walk, to family outings, bowling alley, shopping, wherever they'd go, they'd have this bunny mask and this bunny suit on. And when they asked, why do you wear this bunny mask and why do you wear this bunny suit everywhere you go? Because I can be something or someone I am not otherwise, was the answer. It's true, isn't it? There's something about putting something over our face that gives us a new freedom. It gives us the ability to escape reality, so to speak. I don't know if you've experienced this or not, but I call these Rona masks. So I'm talking about masks this morning, but I'm not talking about these masks, but these Rona masks that we put over our face, right? Sometimes when I wear them on, I feel different. I feel unrecognizable. I feel weird, this sense of freedom. For me, I feel like a winner. If you can't read, it says bears back there if you can't read that. When we can hide from our real selves, we think we can be someone we are not. And today I want us to consider this. What if we could learn to trust God, and what if we could learn to trust others with who we really are? Sadly, it's quite rare to actually meet somebody who's the real deal. And when you do, sometimes you walk away from those conversations or those experiences and you go, that person's the real deal. Let me make something exceptionally clear. In no way am I talking about the Rona mask. I want to say that again. The mask we wear because of our loved ones. And while the Rona mask is worn to protect others, the mask that I'm talking about this morning is to protect us. If you're following along on the outline, if you're on YouVersion, if you're joining us there, know the manufacturer. And I want to talk about the first five verses. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Believe it or not, there is a manufacturer of the invisible mask that I'm going to talk about this morning that we hide behind, and his name is Satan. The forbidden tree is the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they ate the fruit of the tree because she saw that it was desirable for gaining wisdom, as we'll see in just a second. We also learned that the serpent was more crafty than any of the other wild animals. Does that mean that he was more sneaky than the other animals? Probably, there's an element of that. But behind the word, there's also this idea that it's not primarily a negative term. It also describes wisdom, the word crafty. So these five verses in Genesis chapter 3 point to a relationship between the fall of man and man's quest for wisdom. Could it be that the fall of man points not so much to a decision or an act of great wickedness, but more to an act of great folly? After all, they had everything. They had everything they could possibly want. This perfect fellowship with God. There's nothing they could possibly ask for, but they wanted more. He wanted to be like God. They wanted to be like God. Satan's crafty wisdom, because they listened to him, led them to destruction and isolation. It's always good to know the agenda or the intent of the one who is the sharer of wisdom. Wisdom can lead to holiness, of course, but it can also lead to destruction, depending on who's sharing it. The serpent was wise in that he knew how to create this relational divide between the creator and the created, and that's us, and to believe in we are not enough. Just as is, as you are sitting here, we are not enough. What's his point? We cannot be satisfied in God alone. The invisible mask that we wear, that we hide behind, can all be traced back to the same manufacturer. His intent is to steal, to kill, and destroy not only you, but your family, your marriage, and any relationship you have. We only wear the mask, the invisible mask that I'm talking about, when we fail to live free, knowing that we are loved, we're valued, and we're accepted in Christ. I'm going to do an interaction. If you've been joining us online, you know about these, but I'm going to continue to do these for a while. So even here in the auditorium, if you want to just ponder this or if you want to turn to a person next to you and interact with it, you're welcome to. We're just going to do some short ones, but here's one. If living free means knowing that we are loved and accepted by God, which of those three, if any, cause you to keep reaching for that mask? Which of those three cause you to keep reaching for the mask? Just ponder that for a few seconds. When we lose sight of the truth of who we are in Christ, we reach for the mask that's manufactured by the evil one. As quickly as you forget who you are in Christ, you will reach for a mask to hide behind. And that's why it's so important to rehearse over and over and over again who you are in Christ. The second point is don't be fooled. Verse 6 and 7 says this. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was there with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Verse 6, there it is, reminds us that when she saw that the fruit was not only good, that it was not only pleasing to the eye, that it was not only good for food, but also for desiring and gaining wisdom. It shows us that wisdom's outcome is not always holy, but can also be destructive in that the mastermind behind the plan, he was able to develop, implement, and accomplish what he set out to do. Crafty. He's wise. It's been said that each of us can be any given person at any given time. The person we think we are, the person other people think we are, the person we think other people think we are, and the person we really are. It makes me exhausted just thinking about it. And simply what that's saying is that in any given situation, you can walk out here and have a conversation. You can go home and sit with your spouse or your children, or you go to work. In any given situation, you're one of those four people. And oftentimes, it's not really us just being us. It's us faking us. I think I can say with confidence, we all live with insecurities that stem from all kinds of sources, unmet needs, past experiences, lies we believed. I think I can say that every person in here has fears. I think I can say that we all have hurts and pain. We struggle with self-esteem and self-worth. We could probably all say there are things that we don't like about ourselves, or we wish that if we could change something, we would change it right now. So what do we do? What do we do with all of that? We hide, we run, we pretend, we cover up, we shrivel, we fool, we fake, all in the name of saying to everyone around us, I'm okay. As a result, many people never really get to see the real you, or you don't get to see the real them. Married couples hide behind their masks. I have met married couples that have been married for years and years, and they still don't know each other. Friends hide behind their masks. Parents hide from their children, children from their parents, coworkers. We never allow them to see the real deal. And we even wear masks thinking we can hide from God. Because masks gives us this false sense of security, like a parachute with a hole in it. And if we're to be honest, they cause us to live lonely and out-of-touch lives because we're not being honest with ourselves, with others, and most importantly, with God. There is a saying that's used in a number of different contexts that goes like this, fake it until you make it. And that describes for many of us different times in our life. This morning, I want to talk about being free. I want to talk about living mask-free and being the person that God created you to be. What exactly is a mask? The masks that we choose to hide behind are the illusion of protection and safety. That's why we so-called put them on, because we want to protect ourselves. It is illusion. They act as this buffer or this insulation between what's real and what's not. Who we are and who we want others to think that we are. A mask allows us to falsely present ourselves to the world. What the people around you get is a knockoff of the real you. And when you choose to not be free, when you choose to not live in who you are in Christ, you choose to live like a cubic zirconia. A cubic zirconia looks good and at face value and fools a lot of people, but it's really fake and it's phony. So we have a choice. Either we can fool people by fooling ourselves, or we can be real with people by being real with ourselves. God created us and intended us to be free. The idea of wearing a mask to portray ourselves differently was our idea, not his. The second interaction, if your invisible mask had a voice, what would it say? Thirdly, stop hiding, verses 8 through 10 in just a second. Adam and Eve were living in this perfect fellowship with God and each other. They were free to be themselves. Just even think of that. Just free to be themselves. Had nothing to hide from or run from. Then came the fall of man. Sin entered the world, and as a result of their disobedience to God's instruction to not eat of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, because they thought that they knew better, they ate fruit from the tree, and at that moment, everything changed for every single one of us. Verse 8 through 10, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And so we have Adam and Eve went from living free and in this incredible relationship with God, being real with God and each other, to hiding from God and hiding from each other. And sin is the culprit of all mask wearing at the core. It has caused us to believe that God messed up with us. Therefore, we have to make it right by pretending to be someone else just so we feel better. Adam and Eve heard the sound of God as he was walking through the garden. Anthropomorphism is the idea of giving characteristics to God, human characteristics. He was walking through the garden, and here it is, and they hid from him. Never before had they hid from God. It says that they were afraid. They were afraid of who they had become. Because now they were sinners, and the presence of God shed light on their sin, and so they hid. They were afraid of being real with God. And again, we've been doing it ever since. Verse 9 and 10, but the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. Here it is again. So I hid. God calls out to them as if he didn't know where they were. It was Adam's answer to God that explains to us why we do what we do. I was afraid. Ever since that moment, mankind has been hiding. While God is calling us to come out of hiding and to live free, that's his invitation to us. Whenever we choose to hide behind a mask, we are saying we know better than God. We know what it takes to be accepted. We know what it takes to make it through this life. And the outer side of our mask, the side that everyone else sees, is our fantasy world. So we want what we want others to know and think of us, real or imagined. Sometimes I find this when we go into new contexts or a new group of people. Maybe you can think of walking into a room and you don't know anybody, and instantly, what do we do? We're scrambling to find whatever mask it is we want to put on, right, that we can hide behind. Lori and I are moving this week. We're not leaving here. We're moving a mile and a half. And I got to thinking about this morning, like we just are getting to know our neighbors and, you know, and say hi and wave, and it's more than that, having conversations. And now we're going to move to a new neighborhood, and I won't tell you a neighborhood because maybe some of you live there and maybe you'll think I'm talking about you. But, you know, you move to a new house and it's like you don't know anybody, right? And now, so how do you get to know people? And do we feel free just to be ourselves? What would you feel like if you found out a senior pastor and a counselor are moving next to you? Would you be excited about that? Nobody? I mean, I might be living next to one of you. You don't even know it. But while the inside of the mask is who God created us to be, so our side of the mask, which is far better than we could ever portray ourselves, we're just so busy hiding and running and faking it that we don't ever give God a chance to chip away the hardened clay, allowing the beautiful sculpture that God has made be exposed. So this mask wearing can be traced all the way back to the Garden of Eden. It was there that the human race began to run and hide. It was there that the idea of not being real entered into the realm of possibilities. It's kind of like at that moment, it's like, oh, wait a minute, we don't have to be real? We can pretend? We can fake it. We cannot let our spouse in? My coworkers never really have to know me? The key component that I don't want us to miss from this origin is that mask wearing is twofold. It's a way for us to hide from God, and it's a way for us to portray ourselves differently to different people. God didn't create us to live behind fig leaves. He created us to live free. Why do we choose to wear a mask? The quick answer is because we're not okay with who we are. And so we choose to portray ourselves differently. We put on masks that betray us to be happy when really we're sad. We put on these masks to portray that we have everything under control and everything's going great when really our world's falling apart. We put on these masks to portray that we're successful so we can be accepted. We portray ourselves to be confident when we're empty and depleted. Mask wearing is all a game we play in the name of fake it until you make it. We wear masks to escape from being real and dealing with the things that need to be dealt with in our life. We wear masks to protect ourselves from hurts and pain. What's behind your mask? Is it shame? Guilt? Is it a question of, I'm not good enough? Feeling unloved or unwanted? Maybe you're wearing it because you feel like you have to constantly meet a standard or be approved of. Maybe it's because you feel like you're a disappointment and that you have to portray to other people a better you. Maybe your mask is made out of fear, the fear of failure. I think that fears, more than anything else I can think of, can cause us to betray ourselves as someone that we're not. When you look at another person and you talk with them and you get to know them, the person that you are seeing, that your very eyes are looking at, the person that you are seeing and experiencing oftentimes is not the real person. It is the person on this side of their fears. I want you to think about that for a second. Our fears cause us to pick up masks so we're not exposed and put them on, and so we hide behind them. And so what people, if you're in conversation with me and I'm hiding behind my mask, what you are experiencing of me is not what's behind the mask, you're experiencing what's in front of the mask. And so the way that you know me is through my fears, and you don't even know it. They come in all shapes and sizes. We hide behind humor, sarcasm, intellect, deceit, looks, children, success, our children's success, titles, work. Those are all things we pick up. What's the result of us wearing a mask? We live like a fugitive on the run. Is it possible that much of what exhausts us in this life is not actually activity, but running from our own freedom in Christ? Trying to impress everyone. Trying to please everyone. Trying to fool everyone. Trying to be for everyone what they want us to be. Mask wearing will cause relationships to remain on the surface, while living free will allow relationships to be vulnerable, authentic, and trusting. The mask becomes a buffer or a bridge between the real us and the portrayed us. For some reason, we have convinced ourselves or have been convinced that we need to be somebody other than the person we are. We believe that being ourselves and being real is not acceptable. So we spend a lifetime trying to morph into something that we're not. What do you think about you? How do you see yourself? Do you like yourself? Or would you find deep down disappointment or frustration or anger or bitterness, shame or guilt or insecurities or hopelessness, fear? What does God think of us? Psalm 139, 14 and 15 says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well." God formed us in our mother's womb as a spiritual and as a physical being. He created us to need him, that's the spiritual part, and he created us to live for his purposes, that's the physical part. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb as one who weaves a cloth or who's making a basket. The further that you live away from the person that God created you to be, imagine this for a second. The further you live away from that, the more masks that you put on, or in other words, the thicker the mask, the more stress, the more pain, the more confusion and disappointment you will have. Because God designed us to be free. And the only way that we can be real is to be the person that God created us to be. We have to know that God doesn't make mistakes. We have to know that we're loved. We have to know that we're forgiven as far as the east is from the west. We have to know that he's not finished. We have to know that he created you with a purpose and a plan. And he made us in his image. What voices are you listening to? Are you listening to people? Are you listening to God? Are you listening to the voices, the lies that are bouncing around in your own head? You'll never succeed at being yourself if you're trying to be like someone else. Johann von Goethe, I was told after the first service I butchered that name, but there you go. I told them I'll say it the same way the second service, so. Here's a quote. "If God had wanted me otherwise, he would have created me otherwise." The scripture reminds us to be a God pleaser and not a man pleaser. Galatians 1:10. I always come back to this one verse when I think of this. "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God?" Wow, just that one question. Do I spend my time and the things that I do, my behavior, am I trying to win the approval of men or God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. When God becomes your greatest concern, people become your least concern. I want to close with a quote from the great theologian Dr. Seuss. Maybe you've heard it. "Be who you are and say what you feel, because those who mind don't matter, and those who matter don't mind." Father, thank you for this challenge for us to be free, to have permission to live, to be the person that you created us and designed us to be. And God, that can only come once we're convinced at the core level that you love us, you've accepted us, that you've given us value and a purpose, and we're important to you. And when we can rest there, when we can rest in those truths, all of a sudden, the masks can start to come off because it doesn't matter, because we don't live now to please everybody else or to fake it or to cause people to think somebody we're not. Those things are no longer important because we rest with the peace of knowing that we're free in you. And when we know that, man, does that just free us up. God, I pray that you would use your words this morning for one person here, one person listening, and give them permission to find who they are in you and to find freedom and just that peace and that relief of the pressure and the weight of always trying to be somebody else. In Jesus' name, amen.